Are you ready to make a financial change? Then check out the Financial Freedom Community. This is your one-stop for free resources to help you get out of debt and grow your wealth. Check it out at financialfreedomcommunity.com and join the growing list of people achieving financial freedom today. Have you ever wanted to work from a tropical island? Doesn't that sound awesome? On today's episode of the Financial Freedom Community podcast, we are chatting about workcations. This is one of the coolest concepts we have ever discussed on the show. So trust me, you don't want to miss this. Welcome to the Financial Freedom Community podcast. Are you ready to break bad habits, pay off debt, and change your life? I am Joel Parker, your financial freedom partner, and I am here to provide you guidance every single week. Let's get started. Today, we are chatting with Shlomo Freund. Shlomo is an entrepreneur who has spent the last 14 years building wealth so that he can control his own destiny and future. Today, Shlomo is location independent and travels the world on what he calls workcations. Welcome to the show, Shlomo.
Hey, Joel. Great being here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
I'm really excited to hear more about this workcations concept, but before we get into that, why don't you go ahead and share your financial freedom journey? How did you get to where you are today?
I'm not yet financially independent, but I'm sure that I'm on the right way and I'm doing the right thing. And I designed my life so that would work. And I keep track on that and I know that I'm in the right direction. And this is part of also being location independent. The story begins, let's say 14 or 15 years ago, when I started investing myself in the stock market. I took a few courses. I was full-time working, but I also read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I figured that I need to do something with entrepreneurship. Now, Israel is the startup nation, so there isn't a lack of entrepreneurs here, so obviously the environment also supports this. But as time went by, I started investing, and I also started doing some internet marketing. Then I called them projects, but I tried all these internet marketing businesses. Some of them worked, some of them didn't work, but I was an entrepreneur. But I always, not always, but a lot of the time, I also had a full-time job still being an entrepreneur. And then 7 years ago, my brother-in-law decided that his kids should learn Chinese and they should go to China and learn Chinese, and I joined them. This is how my China journey started. And I'm saying this because this is part of the being location independent and all our traveling started, because after that time, a few years later, I got married and we decided we're going to move to China and see how it is to live there. I didn't know where we're going or what we're doing, what's going to be there. I got some kind of a job to support and pay the bills. And we went there and I became very, very involved in the entrepreneurship scene in Beijing. And I built a company there where we help foreign apps distribute into the Chinese market. Now, this company still exists. I run it for a few years from Beijing, then moving back to Israel 3 years ago, I ran it remotely, and I'm glad to be at that position. And what also happened in China is that my wife got a really good job there, and she started working remotely after moving to Israel with that company, which was wonderful. But that only lasted for a year. But what we figured is that we need that the next job that she'll do would also be remote or location independent. I was already location independent. I was running my company from Israel. So that was very, very important thing for us. Today, we're both working remotely. She's working for, it's not her company, but she's working for a company remotely. She's managing a team in the Philippines. And I am managing my company in China, but I also have my company now that I'm building, which is called Free Financial Self, which is basically helping entrepreneurs with their financial goals and financial freedom. That's the premise of Free Financial Self. So I started saying that I'm on my way for financial freedom. And I know that because I track this. I have a blend of investments that I have. I live pretty frugal life, and I'm saving and investing the excess of what we make in order to make our wealth grow and compounding more and more. And it is growing. I'm tracking this, and I even write about this on my blog. So we're definitely on the right way for that.
You mentioned that your wife now leads a team remotely, which I think is awesome. How did she find that job? How can someone that's currently working 9 to 5 find something similar to that?
So two main things. One is that it happened to be that this is through somebody who was her boss at the previous company. Mm-hmm. So he started working for that company and she was looking for a job. So she reached out to everybody and he already knew her and she passed the interview. But I must say that being location independent is also something that you have to be very intentional about. It's actually part of a whole philosophy of mine for getting to financial independence, because you have to be very intentional about all these things. So I'll give you an example. With my wife's job, yes, she could have got a very good job here in Israel. But this means a lot of things for us. It means that she would stand in traffic jams 3 hours a day in Israel. And it means that we have a two-year-old daughter that will send her to a nursery and she'll see her only coming back, I don't know, at like 7 p.m. So it will be like 1 hour, 2 hours a day that she'll see her. And so there's a whole thing, and we chose, you know, we're not going into this. We prefer to stay location independent. And yes, she makes less than jobs in Israel, but I mean, our quality of life is very, very good. It might not be, you know, like living in the center of Tel Aviv, but we are very, very happy about it. There are other people who might think differently and say that you have to have the best programming job in the world, but then you work 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., whatever, which I disagree about. So you have to be very intentional. Sometimes it's hard because, you know, you're giving up on good salaries and good terms and things like that. But you know that you're gaining a lot in other things. So this is what we chose.
I think you bring up an excellent point, Shlomo, because so many people just focus on like the dollar amount that they're going to get paid. And there is so much more to selecting a job than just how much you're going to get paid. You know, you mentioned traffic jams. So there's the commute. There's the amount of time you're going to get to spend with your family. There's vacation time, or in your case, just being able to, you know, work wherever you are at that given moment. I think that's an excellent point.
Again, as I said, it's very, very intentional. You need to structure this. You need to, I mean, again, I'm writing this on Free Financial Self. I invite your listeners to go there and look and read. It's like, except of having a location-independent job, there is a lot of other things around of, you know, optimizing your finances in order for this to work. So as example, we rent on Airbnb on our place on weekends and when we are away. This is something that many, many people can do in order for, first of all, make extra bucks and also use it when they travel. So we are, lots of our weekends, we are away with family anyway. So when we get a booking, then we're going to family. We just plan it this way that we'll go to family on that weekend and on the other weekend. And it works. And that helps us, of course, paying more of the bills and travel more because this is what we like and what we want to do. And there are other things you can do. There are, now we're traveling, I told you we're traveling a few days to the U.S., there are so many things that you can do to make your traveling more affordable. I'm looking now at websites for, let's say, car rental companies who needs to move their cars from one place to another. And if I'll find something that fits our plan, of course I'm going to take this because it costs $1 a day. Why wouldn't you? You just need to do this little effort of finding this.
What website do you find that on?
That's on transfercarus.com.
That's awesome. So this is a service where basically if they're trying to get a car from X to Y and you happen to be going that way, you'll drive the car?
Exactly. So you're getting it for like almost nothing for like a few days, and then you can pay extra if you want it for more days, and it works. I still need to find the right deal for me, which I haven't found, but I have another about 10 days, so I'll keep looking. Another great website that people can use is something called Grabber, which is helping people to bring things from one country to the other. You're traveling anyway. and you have free space. We travel very light. So we now have three tickets and we have three check-ins that we have nothing to do with. So I'm now looking at trying to bring things from the US to, from the US back to Israel when we're coming back here. And people would pay for that. Why not? I mean, people can use that. I also saw another service. I just don't remember the name right now, which you carry a whole suitcase. But this one is only bind now to certain places. So now it's only between the US and China, because obviously there's a lot of traffic between China and the US. Mm-hmm. But they'll expand at some point, and then maybe there'll be other places. So yeah, I encourage people to look into all those opportunities of things that you can do to travel more affordably. It also matters where are you traveling, of course. I mean, a year ago we went to Thailand, and that was very, very affordable. And also Portugal was very, very affordable. And not only where, but for how long as well. This is something that we can do. If we travel for longer, it means that we can cover more of our flights and expenses because we can rent our place for longer. So that's another thing taking into account. So you join all those things together to make the finances of your travel to work for you. But I'm also looking at this as the finances of my life. It's specifically for travel, the example I gave right now. But I'm using those opportunities for all kinds of things. Just like I mentioned, when I'm not traveling, I'm still on weekends renting up my place on Airbnb. Why not?
Now, what is a workcation? I feel like you've talked a little bit about this so far, but do you want to really give it like a definition and go in depth on what exactly a workcation is?
So a workcation is combining the words work and vacation. And it can be individual of how you feel it should be. I can say how we feel it should be. And the way that we like to do it is going to a place and really live like a local. So that would mean renting an Airbnb if possible, or staying with somebody. We prefer to go to an Airbnb and stay in somebody's room and not have a whole apartment. Not that it's only cheap. It's also that you get to know more of the place and the people, which is what we like. Or in Thailand, we actually rented an apartment for 2 months, a local apartment, just like everybody else. And we lived in a very nice compound. It was very, very affordable. It was a very local place. So there were local restaurants and we got to know the people around. And now we have friends there in Chiang Mai. So it's really, really nice. And while you're there, you get your life around getting to know a new place, but you're also obviously working or you need to work. So some of the time we travel, usually on weekends or maybe extended time through that workcation. And the rest of the time we're doing maybe shorter trips and live our lives in a completely new place and enjoy discovering the how it is to live like a local in that place.
Do you work your normal job, both you and your wife, while you're there?
Yes. I mean, my wife keeps working for that company and running her team. And I keep running Free Financial Self and the company in China, yes.
So it's really just kind of working remotely from home or away from home. And so, you know, basically like when you're in Portugal, you're just working like you live in Portugal. Is that right?
That's correct. But I prefer discovering a new place like a local than staying at home. I like it. This is what I want to do.
I think that's awesome. You know, some people work from coffee shops. Some people are stuck in their cubicle. You're going to new countries. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, but then I try the coffee shops there.
Oh, there you go.
or the co-working spaces. I mean, it depends. It really depends on the place. So in Portugal, it was sometimes from the apartment that we were at, sometimes in coffee shops. In Thailand, I went to a co-working space there. So it really depends on the place.
I'm sure the question on everyone's mind who is listening is, how much does this cost? Working from a foreign location, a new country, would seem to be expensive.
Right. It's not. It's really not. Going to Thailand, I think we were at around $1,000 a month for all of us. I mean, it's a couple with a baby, and our baby was even in the nursery there. Going to Portugal, somehow, there are a lot of opportunities came out together, and it's actually cost almost zero to go there and work from there and fly there.
Wow.
I just posted about it. Like, it doesn't have to be expensive. Just use those ways of that I mentioned before. And I mean, if you're leaving for a longer time, you can rent your place for a longer time, meaning you're covering more of your expenses. If you're carrying somebody's stuff because you have excess space on your luggage, then again, you're affording more. If you're renting out your car while you're gone, you can also do more. You just need to use those things in your advantage.
Are you very intentional about picking the location? I know some people would say, oh, well, I'm going to pack up and I'm going to go to Milan tomorrow and try this. You know, are you very intentional with looking for places that are less expensive? Or do you say, this is where we want to travel, and then you make it work?
So there is no one thing that we always done. The place that we went so far, I mean, let's say per se as defined as workation is Thailand. And this is where we knew there is a hub for other digital nomads. And this is in Chiang Mai in Thailand. So this was intentional going there. The other one going to Portugal was actually because my wife's company had a meeting of the whole company there. So they were paying for one ticket. They paid for a week, the first week that we were there. But we said, we're going, and we wanted to go for another workation. So we might as well stay. So instead of staying for 8 days, we stayed for 2 months. And obviously that covered some of the expenses. I mean, one flight ticket and a week of staying. So that helped. And why not? So we used that opportunity. We're flying next week to the US. To be honest, I'm not super keen about going to the US because it's very, very expensive. And it's, for me personally, it's not as interesting as going to Thailand, as example. So sorry, all Americans out there.
The U.S. is very similar to Israel. And I know that probably sounds weird for a lot of the listeners. But when I landed in Tel Aviv, I went, this has an American feel.
So I wouldn't say 100%, but it's Western culture, and it's like, you know the boundaries of what's going to happen. Like, nothing really surprising is going to happen. Whereas you're going in Thailand or in China where we live, it's like you're out in the streets, like, wow, everything is interesting. So this is what I like about traveling. We're still going to the US. I mean, we were going for family reasons, and that's okay. So we're using this time also to visit friends that we have from Beijing who moved to the US. So instead of flying just for the occasion that we're going to for 5 days, we're doing a whole month. And that enables us to rent a place for our whole month. So again, it covers more of the flight. So we're still using those engines I told you about to make this happen the most affordable way.
That's really cool. Now, you mentioned renting your place for a month. I'm assuming you're using Airbnb to rent. Do you find it better to, you know, rent in like 1 week spans? Or I know Airbnb does kind of by the day, but do you find that like leaving for a month, you're more likely to get someone to rent your place?
So for us, the longer ones, we don't do through Airbnb, but through a Facebook group in our area, just because our place is not very touristy. So we get occasional Airbnbs, and even then we don't accept everybody because we live on that place. We live in our place. We live right in a yurt. And that place is, I mean, people want to visit it, but only if it's around the weekend, then we'll go, because we're going anywhere, as I said, to the family. So this is why we try to do this way. But for the longer ones, we're usually going to find it through other groups. I mean, Facebook groups.
Very cool. Now, what advice do you have for someone who wants to take this leap and become location independent?
I think that my best advice, and I said it before because I strongly feel that that's the right way, is being very intentional about this. If you want to be location independent, go and find location independent jobs. But of course, you have other considerations like family and friends. I understand. That's okay. But there are so many options out there. So use them.
Great advice. What is something that you wish you knew when you were planning your first workation?
We heard about Chiang Mai for a long time, and there was a lot of information there. You know, I didn't make crazy research, but we knew it was the hub for location-independent people, and we wanted to try it out. And somehow we counted that things would be okay. Actually, in every of our travel, you kind of get this tension before going, like if everything going to be okay, and like if we get everything ready and all that. And we keep telling ourselves, everything will be just fine. It's really, really okay. Like, what's the worst that can happen? And this is how things turn to be eventually. You just go through whatever preparation you have to do, and it worked. And even if you screwed up, still, you know, you fix it and it works. There's nothing really so unexpected that caused so much harm and damage in our travels because something was not planned properly. And that's part of traveling as well. Have uncertainty and live with it and learn to live with it. I that's the beauty of it. Yes, not everything would be as planned, and that's totally fine.
What is one place that you really, really want to go on a workcation to?
I would want to go to Bali, but as an Israeli, I can't go there.
Why can't you go there as an Israeli?
Because you can only go into Indonesia as an Israeli with a group. And since I'm not going into any with any tour group, and of course you don't do workations with tour groups, then that's not going to happen. But there are enough places around the world that we still want to explore. We're thinking about Vietnam and maybe go back to Chiang Mai next year. I mean, the end of this year, actually, for kind of splitting the time between Vietnam and Thailand. And we're also thinking maybe doing something in East Europe this coming summer, but still not sure about it. We're more sure about the end of this year trip to Southeast Asia. So we'll see.
So you mentioned that, you know, your goal when you're there is to live like a local. What do you do? What, I mean, how do you really just, you move in and you call this home, or do you skip, you know, the sightseeing stuff? What do you do?
We realize that we're not a big, you know, check mark on the sightseeing thing. Yes, we do some sightseeing, but since we're going there for longer times than many other people, it's not like we're doing five sites a day. We're going on a weekend. We see that for it, this is basically what we do at the weekend. Like, we have a whole day to explore a place. But even if we didn't explore the touristy place that everybody are going to, that's fine too, because we had another experience, or we traveled to another place where the locals know more about, or we hiked or did something. Also, in terms of where we're staying, I mean, mentioning local areas, going to local restaurants, not only that they're cheaper, they're more interesting than tourist Western food. It's clear that I'm not a local, okay? I will never be a local, especially not with a 2-3 month trip. But I try to get the experience as much as I can on that time. And it's obviously easier than when you're traveling for a week somewhere and then trying to do sightseeing. You don't get the local feeling. You get the tourist feeling of where the tourists are going. And I don't like that much.
Well, I think a workcation is an awesome concept. And, you know, hopefully one day my wife and I can do that. Now, what are you going to do? You said you have a 2-year-old daughter. How are you going to handle that with schooling?
So for now, we're homeschooling her.
Mm-hmm.
And my family keeps asking me for how long we going to keep doing this. And I'm saying for how long it's still going to work. When it will be, I guess, too hard, or we see that we can't handle this because we both still have our, I mean, I run my business and my wife's working, then we'll adapt and think of other ways. Maybe we'll travel less. Maybe we'll travel, and while we're not traveling, she'll be in school, and we still insist on our flexible lifestyle even when she's in school. I don't know, but for now it's working, and I'm happy with this, and that's great. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers to everything, and I don't. Yeah, obviously nobody has all the answers. But as I said, as long as it's working, I'm happy with this.
I think that's a great way to look at it. Shlomo, how can people get in touch with you and follow along on your journey?
So people can get in touch with me through my website, which is called freefinancialself.com. You can send me a message through there, or you can also find me. The best social network would be, I guess, LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn under my name, Shlomo Freund, and also on Facebook. I'm also there. So you're invited. I really, really like and thrilled to speak with others with the same mindset. So please get in touch.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Shlomo, for sharing your story. And I know I'm going to follow along, and you know, maybe we'll have you back on and you can share some more stories, because I think it's just an awesome concept. And I'm excited to see where your journey takes you, because I think it's so cool.
Thank you very much, Joel. Pleasure being here.
Isn't the idea of a workcation awesome? Who doesn't want to work from anywhere in the world and live like a local? I can just think of the numerous places I'd like to go. So hopefully I get to take advantage of this one day, and hopefully you do too. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you check out the financialfreedomcommunity.com. This is your place to get free resources that'll help you continue to work towards financial freedom and grow your wealth and get out of debt. That's financialfreedomcommunity.com. Also, go ahead and click subscribe. That's going to tell your podcast player that you want more of this great content. And that'll ensure that every time an interview goes live, it's delivered directly to where you listen to podcast episodes. Also, reviews are incredibly helpful. They give me insight on what I need to do to make sure that you are being served. So leave a review on iTunes and I read through all of them. Until next time, my name is Joel Parker. I am your financial freedom partner, and I cannot wait to see you around the community.